coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studio. Ayo. Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. And man, we got so many headlines for you today. We got Charles Masson, who's joining us on the in route. But man, we got to begin today's show with a bunch of headlines. A bunch of game sevens in hockey. The Rangers were beat by the Devils. The Bruins were beat by the Panthers. And the defending champion Avalanche were beat by the Kraken. Z, which series surprised you? Which series disappointed you? And which team has the best chance moving forward?
That's a great question. So if we're going to really, disappointment, you have to be disappointed with the Rangers as a Ranger fan. But you're up 2-0. You go to the Prudential Center, you put 10 on the Devils, and then they just turn the afterburners on and they leave you in the dust. So Chris Drury needs to retool. He needs to get faster because they could not handle the speed. Kane looked like he was skating in mud.
Yeah.
And Aaron did not show up. Game 7, nobody showed up because they got shut out. About Gerard Gallant. Where do they go from here? Do they bring in Daryl Sutter? If Joel Quenneville gets cleared by the league, do they hire Joel Quenneville? Or do they stick with Gerard Gallant? I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. Surprising? The fact that it's a toss-up. You have a choice between a generational-type team, or so we thought, and the reigning defending Stanley Cup champion. You cannot be more disappointed in the Boston Bruins, right? And this is setting a trend. Every team now, in every single major sport that has the all-time wins record for a season, got bounced. None of them have a championship. Patriots, bounced. That 73-win Warrior team, bounced. The Mariners team bounced. And now the Boston Bruins bounced. They let the Panthers hang around in clutch time when they needed to hunker down on D. Florida was able to score, take it to overtime, and all bets are off. Game 7, overtime, all bets are off. So that flushes an all-time great season down the tubes. And Colorado, Colorado's been missing Landeskog. Like, Alexander Georgiev. Like, we knew about him. And kudos to the Kraken. Like, they took it to him. They punched him in the mouth. They cracked him in the mouth. And the Avalanche could not respond. But what am I looking forward to moving forward? Now, you have Kraken stars. You have Devils Canes. That should be very interesting. The Hurricanes are already up 2-0 on the Devils. And we're going to see what happens there. Like, personally, there are enough ex-Rangers on the Carolina Hurricanes that we could, it's like rooting for Rangers South. You have Panthers Leafs. Like, are you rooting for the Leafs at this point? Like, it should have got off the pot time, but have they become a sentimental favorite? And then you have Vegas and Edmonton, right? You have Connor McDavid, should have got off the pot time for Connor McDavid. If he's as good as people say he is, he should be able to slay this dragon and move on to the next round. But there's chaos right now. There's a lot of chaos right now. A lot of the favorites are gone. And I'm here for it. I am here for this.
Yeah, so I'm going to take a little different approach. I am super surprised at the Rangers and the Devils. I mean, like you said, we outscored them 10-2 in the first two games, and then we were spectators for the next for four L's. Like, yeah. All those games they lost, they were spectators for those games. They didn't score goals. Nobody did anything. Looking slow. I know the Devils are fast, but the Rangers look slow. Mm-hmm. And it was just extremely surprising. I mean, like, I thought we were up 2-0 going to Madison Square Garden. Thought for sure it was gonna wrap in five games, maybe six games. Then we go back to the Garden, Rangers pull out a win, and go to Jersey and just forget how to play hockey, man. And yeah, I get Patrick Kane's hurt, got a bad hit, but I don't want to hear that shit. You can't get a goal, dude. You can't get an assist. Like, where were you? Where were you?
Artemi Panarin, I'm looking at you. Like, that, you know, you're getting paid a shit ton of money. You are the leading point getter, and you don't show up in the playoffs. Like, that's inexcusable.
And then as far as disappointment, I'm disappointed in the Bruins. Because you won the President's Cup. You're the best regular season hockey team in the history of the NHL. You're up 3-1. Then you're winning in game 7, heading into the last minute. I get Bergeron's playing a herniated disc. Krejci's hurt. But dude, playing the Panthers, man. I think they were 45-50 points better than them. Yeah, that's disappointing. And you want, you know, I want to see the best teams advance. And, you know, in hockey, it happens. 8 seeds beat 1s, like 5 beats 4. So I just wanted to see this team. I wanted to see history. I wanted to see this team go on. I enjoyed watching the Bruins play. I'm a Ranger fan, but I enjoyed their style of hockey, their brand of hockey. They were just beating people to a pulp all year long. Like, nobody could skate with the Bruins. And to see them go out in the first round of the Panthers, ugh. Oh, man. And then as far as who's got the best chance of going forward, I mean, hey, man, I like the Kraken. I mean, they play hard. They play all, you know, three periods. But, yeah, I'm with Edmonton. And the Devils. I mean, the Devils can skate, man. Hughes is just ridiculously. He's so fast, he skates himself out of his skate sometimes and slips and hurts himself. So
he does, but you know, the Devils are fast, but say what you will, the Carolina Hurricanes do what the Rangers do not, and that's play defense. They play defense with a ferocity. They Slavin, Brady Shea, they are loaded for bear on the back end. The Rangers were starting three kids. Right? They're starting Miller, they're starting Schneider.
Don't even go there, dude. The Rangers were sloppy. The turnovers were terrible. They didn't hustle. I don't know why. I have no idea why. You think it has to do because they're young kids?
Yes. And the moment was too big.
Maybe.
The moment was too big. Braden Schneider barely got a cup of coffee last year in the playoffs, and now he's asked to play big minutes. He can't handle it. He's not there. He's 21. He's not ready yet. So, meanwhile, Carolina has a veteran season team, and they play defense, they forecheck, and they've got speed. They can match the Devils player for player. And when you break it down, they're number one seed for a reason. Right? Carolina Hurricanes, we're going to talk about Carolina Panthers in a second, but the Hurricanes are a problem. So if I'm projecting, I got to say,
you're projecting, stop projecting.
I'm going to project. I'm doing it. It's going to be Carolina versus the Panthers in the conference finals, because I still don't have belief in the Maple Leafs, right? It was the first time in, you know, God knows how long, 20-something years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs have not been exactly a playoff juggernaut. So I would go Carolina versus Florida. And then in the West, the winner of the Oilers Golden Knights is going to represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup final.
That's fair.
I mean, that is, you know, that's it. Yeah. Dallas tries hard, Kraken tries hard. The skill of either team will eventually come to fruition, and they'll overwhelm these other little engines that could.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
We're moving over to the NBA. The beam was lit by the Warriors as the Warriors defeated the Sacramento Kings in Game 7. Steph Curry puts up 50. A 50 burger in a Game 7. Sets up a matchup between the Lakers and the Warriors. Or if you just want to go, LeBron versus Steph. LeBron versus Steph.
LeBron.
So, who needs his victory more, LeBron James or Steph Curry?
Well, you know, the Lakers did win last night, 119-112. Big win, big steal on the road there. You know, it's tough, right? So, it's really tough because, on the one hand, I'm a big defender of LeBron. Because he went to Miami and won two chips. Then he went back to Cleveland, won a chip with his hometown, and he beat said Warriors when they were down 3-1. And one of the best victories all time. He's gone to so many finals in a row. Then he goes to LA the year with COVID, and he wins the championship. You know, so he's got 4. But, you know, the Warriors and Steph Curry, they're just such a good team. And, you know, they're striving for 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, I don't think LeBron needs this victory. But I will say that Steph beating LeBron, I do think it hurts LeBron, especially if Steph goes on to win a championship, because it's been really Steph and LeBron over the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 years. These are guys that we're talking about when it comes to who is the face of the NBA, who's the best player in the NBA, and who leads the NBA. And that's where I am. And on the flip side, if LeBron was to beat Steph, we would say, well, he should, or that makes sense. But I feel like if Steph was to beat LeBron and then win a championship, that'd be a tough one to swallow.
On paper, there is no reason that the Lakers should be beating the Warriors. But if you look at the depth of that team, it's not great. It's not good.
I don't know, man.
Yes, D'Angelo Russell played out of his mind to get the Lakers to the next round of the playoffs, but you're looking at D'Angelo Russell. Can he bring it consistently? Anthony Davis, can he actually stay healthy? Dennis Schroeder, Austin Reeves has been a revelation.
He's a player.
He's good. You know, but then
shout out
to Austin Reeves. Jared Vanderbilt has been a find. That's 6. And then you have guys like Hashimura and Gabriel and Brown. That's a stretch. That's a stretch. The Warriors, they don't need to start Jordan Poole, right? They can throw Jordan Poole at you. They can throw Gary Payton II at you. They have Wiggins, who I think is really going to be the X factor in this series, right? Everybody's going to be geeked up for Curry and LeBron. And don't be surprised if Andrew Wiggins shows you why he was the number one pick all those years ago and why.
How did they get that guy? How did he end up on their team? How did they get Andrew? How did they get Andrew Wiggins, man? That's crazy.
D'Angelo Russell. So this is D'Angelo Russell's revenge. So if you're looking at this, like, Steph has the better talent, right? You figure, like, just by a quick analysis, he has the more talented team. If LeBron goes in here with these guys and beats the Warriors, like, that would be a tremendous feather in his cap. Because it's really, that was really a testament of will. And I would say that the Warriors are the defending champs, as we know. They're struggling with the identity of, are they continuing on, or is this the end? Are they the fading gunslinger, or are they still relevant? And, you know, they are, they're in the playoffs. They're only a six seed. Now, there are teams that are even more talented than the Warriors, who are younger, who are more physical. And if they're going to hang on, I mean, this is it. Like, this is going to be, this feels like a swan song.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like a swan song.
It does feel like it's coming to an end. You know, Jordan Poole's good. I wouldn't say he's great. I mean, he takes a lot of wild shots. He makes a lot of silly plays sometimes. Outside of Draymond Green, I don't really look at them as one of the best defensive teams. Like, I'm not afraid of Steph. I'm not afraid of Clay. Andrew Wiggins is decent, but put a body on him and he kind of fades away. I mean, I think both teams have different things going for them. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, they'll shoot you out of the building still. And when they're up, they tend to stay up. They have a lot of talent. But, I mean, the Warriors, I mean, the Lakers have LeBron James. And a healthy Anthony Davis right now, who I think got, like, did he have, like, a 20-20 game or a 30-20 game? Something like that. It hadn't happened in the playoffs since Shaq. LeBron made comments after the game saying one day Anthony Davis's number is going to hang in the rafters of the Staples Center. Well, then again, Pau Gasol is up there, so I guess Anthony Davis should be up there too, right?
Yeah, he was 30-23 rebounds.
I found it interesting that, you know, Joel Embiid won the MVP award this past week. This was the first time, I think, in like over 10 years that LeBron James didn't receive an MVP vote.
That is surprising. That is extremely surprising. But at the same time, this would be one of the years where he would deserve an MVP vote. Because if you look at the cast of characters around him, you don't have street clothes. You were where you were on the outside looking in. LeBron James willed this team into the playoffs. That's a testament to LeBron James's will. You know, that's Michael Jordan level will. And yes, I just evoked that. You know, I'm Dylan Brooks. I'm poking the bear. That is Michael Jordan level will. But, you know, as you progress on in the playoffs, your depth becomes critical. You know, and Phoenix is going to see that very soon. Like, you're going to get tested. You're going to get in foul trouble. That's what's going to happen. And are the role players going to step up and get the job done? I don't know if the Lakers have enough role players to overcome that. And I don't know if LeBron has that much will left in him.
Well, Chris Paul is hurt. Shocker.
There's no shock face.
Probably not going to play the next game or the rest of the series because it's the playoffs and that's what Chris Paul does. I actually think the Suns are pretty much done without Chris Paul. But the Nuggets are legit. I mean, the Joker, Jokic, is just incredible. I'd be interested to see what teams do to him, like what a Warriors team is going to do about him, or what a Lakers team is going to do about him, because this man is standing out in the three-point line, shooting threes, he's throwing passes behind his back, he's grabbing rebounds, he does it all, man.
Yeah, well, the Nuggets are definitely going to... the Nuggets are definitely going to be in the conference finals. Like, if they have a healthy Jamal Murray, yeah, they have a healthy Jokic. Yeah. Like, they seem to be healthy and whole. So, as opposed to Mr. Soft Tissue, who's hurt yet again. Like, it never ceases to amaze me that Chris Paul is the worst possible time for him to get injured, and he finds the way to do it. Now, you juxtapose that with James Harden, who's actually healthy and appears to be finally, like, in a good spot in Philly. So, you know, they blew up that Rockets team. And, you know...
Don't forget, Chris Paul was named one of the best 75 players in the history of NBA of all time. Just in case you're wondering, you know, with, like, names like Oscar Robertson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like, he's that good.
Yeah, no. That's ridiculous. That
Tommy that Wilkins, exactly. Chris Paul, yeah, put their names on the same
no.
level.
He's not even
John Stockton.
He's not even no.
He wishes he
no.
could be John Stockton.
No. He's not even close on the point guard list, or on all-time players list. No, absolutely not. But in terms of, like, legacy, I gotta say that, you know, while this is Steph's swan song, I feel like LeBron needs it more for the legacy, because he's chasing Jordan, right? Or they're trying to equate Jordan with LeBron. Nobody's doing that with Steph Curry.
No.
Like, nobody's doing that. So, yeah. So, I think that in terms of legacy long term, and, you know, how he's perceived, LeBron definitely needs this, because the door's closed. You know, he's 38 years old. How many more bites at the apple do you have? So, with him, and he's not gonna be there for Bronny. Like, he's not gonna be there. Like, I just think with all the miles that he's put on his body between Olympics and you have regular season play, he's been playing pro ball since he's 18 years old. Like, you only have so much tread on the tire, you know? And you've seen it with some of the injuries that he's had. And, you know, it doesn't look good, you know, that Father Time is just, he's in that rearview mirror. It's a question of how long is it going to take him to catch up. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com. But while LeBron may be at nearing the end of his career, and Steph Curry may be nearing the end of his career, a lot of guys made the initial step in the start of their career as the NFL draft took place last weekend, and it sure did not disappoint. More than 60,000 people showed up in Kansas City, and more than 5.5 million people watched from home. Has the NFL draft become the best event in pro sports?
You know, somebody posed this to me, and I kind of laughed at them, and then I was like, wait a minute, they might just be right. And I say it because it is a positive atmosphere. All are welcomed. It costs nothing. You know, you could go to a ticketed event during the draft, but for the most part, it's free. You can go stand on the lawn, you can go stand in a hall. You can go anywhere and then take part in the festivities. And you're rooting for success, right? You're rooting for your team to get better. And there's a lot of camaraderie there. There's no fighting, no you see jerseys of past players, current players. There's concerts. There's autograph signings. I don't know another event. It's four days. I don't know another sporting event that levels up to it as far as how much it's going to cost you, the positive vibes that you're going to have, and the experiences that you're going to go through.
In terms of a show, the NFL certainly knows how to put on a show. Mm-hmm. Right? The NFL draft is one of these programs. It's specifically designed for television. Like, you have the human interest element of it. You know, who is buying their mom a house with their, you know, signing bonus. You have all of these, like, background stories that you don't necessarily get with a veteran in the NFL, right? You're getting to meet these guys, right? You're getting to see what they've gone through and where they're going. So it's like it's an entry way into somebody's life. You don't really get that. I mean, with other drafts, the NBA, you kind of do, but NHL, you don't really get that. Major League Baseball draft is done in Secaucus in a warehouse. Like, Rob Manfred is there, like, in Secaucus. Like, we got Madison Square Garden. Nah, give me Secaucus. Let's do this. But then you're starting to look at major events, right?
Rob, it smells in here.
That's just the river. It's fine. That's just low tide. Oh, son of a bitch. But then you're starting to compare this to other sporting events, right? Now, like, best of seven series, all of that. And it's just a different vibe. You know, there's no contention. Like, the players are all there for a good reason. That everybody is in a jovial mood, like you mentioned. People's lives are changing for the better, right? There are no losers. Everybody wins that day. Everybody thinks that they just made the move of a lifetime, right? Whether you're an organization or you're a player, right? Because an organization is not going to take somebody just for the sake of taking them. They feel like, you know, best player available. This guy is going to be.
Unless you're Pittsburgh and you're taking Joey Porter Jr. Just saying.
Well, nepotism. But I mean, they're already linked next year to Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So they're building this group of juniors, right? It's a family affair. They have the Watts, they have the Haywards. Like, there's a big familial atmosphere in Pittsburgh, you know? They're reuniting brothers. Good for them. But the NFL draft is it's gone from this kind of, like, bureaucratic event. If you recall Elway to Marino, it was a bunch of guys at a table with a bunch of phones. It's all in, and you're just working the phones. Now, like, from the consumer end of it, it's a big time affair. It's an absolute big time affair. And you know, it is unparalleled. It's amazing that we're watching. This is, to me, it's the equivalent of almost like the Academy Awards or the Grammys or something of that effect, where you're watching for the clothes, you're watching for
it's
the
kinda
side
like
stories.
You're watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because everyone's becoming a millionaire that day.
Well, if you know what, if they were taking the diagnostic exam. Like, that would be very interesting, that whoever is the last man standing gets to keep all the money. But, you know, it's definitely grown. The production has gotten better. And in terms of singular events, like, the NFL can't do better. Like, this is the pinnacle of the offseason.
Yeah.
You have the Super Bowl is the pinnacle of the play, but the NFL draft is the pinnacle of the offseason.
Yeah, now on to the draft itself. Bryce Young went number one, as predicted by me. Thank you. No surprise to the Panthers. However, lots of people were surprised Kentucky's quarterback Levis fell to the second round to the Tennessee Titans. Rumors circulated the promising quarterback fell because of his arrogance and his constant flexing of his biceps. Z, is that a reason not to draft a quarterback? And why would the Titans draft another quarterback?
Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis. That's why they drafted another quarterback.
But dude, but he wasted a second round pick on this guy. Like, who are you? Who was going to take him? Who are you worried about jumping you? Why are you so concerned that this guy was going to get taken by somebody else? I don't understand it. You took Malik Willis in the third round last year, just last year. You got three quarterbacks coming to camp that want to play. Are you going to cut Ryan Tannehill in camp? Is there something out? Are you going to trade him somewhere? Something we don't know about?
Well, there's a certain there's a definite possibility that Ryan Tannehill could be on the move. But in terms of Will Levis, he's as
like Z. If you were a GM, is that a reason for you not to take a quarterback because you thought he was arrogant and saw him flexing his biceps a lot? Would you say we're gonna pass on this guy and we're gonna go with Stroud instead?
I don't know.
Guy was number two on Mel Kiper's board. He was a number two quarterback on Mel Kiper's board. And he...
Yeah, but you know what? They thought highly of Jeff George, too. Jeff George was kind of an arrogant prick, too.
Hey, Jeff George is probably one of the best passers of his time. He could throw the rock anywhere.
But look at the career he's had. Look at the career that Jeff George had. And just like, oh, shit. Our freaking quarterback is hurt. Who's available? Jeff George. Constantly available.
I can do it, coach.
I'm going to throw it over them there, mountain.
What color team am I throwing to today?
So, like, Cutler, another guy. Like, big arm, but a prick. So, you know, there have been plenty of guys in the NFL that have been full of themselves. Jim McMahon comes to mind. Another one. But I don't know. Like, he's 65% completion percentage. Okay, solid. 19 touchdowns, 10 picks, just in his senior year. Is he playing the best
George,
of competition?
Jeff George was a gangster. Back in 1997, he threw for almost 4,000 yards, had 30 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
And he was unemployed the next year. Good for him. Solid, Jeff.
My man.
Constantly on those one-year make-good contracts. Good for you, Jeff. But, you know, Levis is on the lesser... He's on the lower end of the SEC talent, right?
I think they were actually 4-12 that year, too.
Oh, there you go. He did try.
And he was sacked 58 times. Oh, my God.
So if this kid can have a career that was one-tenth as good as Jeff George, like, we're all right. But, you know... Arrogance is one thing. Like, you can be confident without being arrogant. Like, you don't necessarily, they don't go hand in hand. You can absolutely be extremely confident in your ability, but like the bicep flexing, like that just is stupid. So, you know, maybe it's an insight into the maturity, why he dropped out of the first round. Once you were later in the round, there weren't a lot of teams that needed a quarterback anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially once Lamar signed, you knew the Ravens weren't going to take him.
Right. So who, like, if you're the Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not let him fall to the third round? Like, you took Malik Willis in the third round. Like, who were you worried was going to take this man? That's my question. Like, what were you so nervous about?
Okay. I can see that. I could definitely see Seattle. At that point, let's think about that. Seattle built a very good decade off of underpaying Russell Wilson. Like, they drafted Wilson in the fourth round, and then they underpaid him in order to get everybody else. kind of like what the Cowboys initially tried to do with Dak, but then they had to pay Dak, and now they're in the position they're in. So, you know, you try and get a good quarterback on the cheap. I can see you're not paying first round money. I can understand why they would take that risk. I can understand why Malik Willis was graded first round last year, and somehow he dropped. Like Corral, well, and like
now we know.
Now we know. But at the time,
I heard Corral had to give up his number too.
Oh my god!
Because Bryce Young wants 9.
So he's like, "But coach, I'm number 9." No, you're not.
What's your name?
Who are you? Golden Corral.
I don't even know who you are.
You took everything from me. Took everything from me. But, you know, that is one of the dumbest things I've heard as for why a player's draft stock fell, is that he was too enamored with his biceps. I think that that's probably one of the dumber things I've heard, but we've also heard really stupid reasons why a guy's draft stock
got an ugly girlfriend. What does that mean? Right. He lacks confidence.
Oh my god. Yes, we need more of Billy Beane doing draft analysis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more concerned with the guy's play. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I looking back at the draft now, right, it's like, okay, I mean, I thought Bryce Young was going to go number one, which he did. You can see what the Colts are going to try and do, right? They're going to try to make Anthony Richardson like Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. they're going to do there, right? And my guess is the Texans are hoping that Stroud is just as good as Fields, right? And that's what they're hoping for.
You hope.
So Levis to me looked more like a Colt. You know, I thought the Texans would have been like a crapshoot, but then I thought maybe at 7 the Raiders might grab him. I thought that would have been a good move for them. They decided to go defense, and you're right. Maybe in the second round, the Raiders spin the wheels on him, but it seems like the Raiders are—they're moving forward, Jimmy G.
The Raiders are spinning their wheels. Truer words have never been spoken, but the Las Vegas Raiders are spinning their wheels. But you know, there were a couple. I mean, he's a gamble, right? Well, we've talked about how he's a gamble, and like I don't know if you're going to take if he's going to be a project. He's not. I'm not wasting a first round pick and paying first round money on a project. Like that just doesn't seem like a smart idea. But you know, the Titans. You got to figure they're at a crossroads. They're at
well, I feel like you texted me and you're like, "Oh, it looks like Vrabel's gonna be looking for a job."
Yeah, it's. I mean, look at the rest of that division, right? The Colts. They can't be as bad as they were last year. They just can't, right? You can't just. The law of averages dictates that you can't be as bad as they were. The Houston Texans are improving. I mean, if C.J. Stroud is any good, like that is definitely gonna take them over the edge. They did a masterful job. Casario did a great job, and then the Jags won the division. So they're not going anywhere. You traded A.J. Brown. You let Corey Davis go. You have no quarterback to speak of. And rumor has it you're fielding phone calls on Derrick Henry. What the hell? Like, what am I supposed... I mean, if I'm a Titans fan, what am I hanging my hat on? Seriously, what is my signature? It used to be we're going to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. Now, we looked last year, Derrick Henry was the one getting pounded. So, things have changed, and they've changed quickly. Mike Vrabel, kudos for getting rid of your offensive coordinator, but you're definitely on the hot seat, my friend. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was looking for a new job come next year.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road, and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? You know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs on Fade Route Podcast on IG, or hit that Twitter, FaderouteDNZ.
Joining us on the In Route today, we've got former World Bowl champion and member of New York Jets and Frankfurt Galaxy, Charles Bisson. Charles, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
Awesome.
Yo, it's good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man.
It's been a long time, Damian. Much love, my brother.
My man. So, yeah, let's jump right into it. You know, the NFL draft is come and gone, so it's time for the grades. You know, who are your winners and who are your losers?
You know, I'm from the Detroit area, so I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I was kind of underwhelmed with their draft. We got a B grade overall. But I don't know. Just to jump right into it, I'm really excited. I'm calling the Jets and the Lions in the Super Bowl.
That would be wild. Were you upset to see DeAndre Swift go, man? I mean, he was such a horse.
Yeah, you know, it's weird how coaches and front office people shuffle things around. If you look at Swift in his first couple years in Detroit, he wasn't extremely durable, and he a great running back, a great talent, but wasn't very durable. So he was coming up on a contract year, and then, you know, they went and picked that kid out of Alabama at 12. Which was kind of shocking, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see who it is. And we had a great free agent signing out of Chicago, really nice third down back, athletic pass catcher.
And you're happy. So, you're happy with Goff. You're happy with Goff as the quarterback there.
I mean, he's a good game manager. You saw he was able to do that with LA when he was the first overall draft pick. But we got that kid out of Tennessee that blew his knee out. That was I'm terrible with names. I played offensive line, so it took a lot of headshots. But I think the Lions picked up a nice quarterback late in the draft. He's very athletic, and he can learn. And he's got, you know, he's pretty much, they're very cost effective in their first 3 years before they go into a contract year.
100%. Yeah. And do you think they have enough, especially since, you know, the Jameson Williams thing? He's missing the first six games because of that gambling suspension.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to weather the storm there?
That's great. I think so. I mean, he didn't play at all last year, right? That Jameson Winston, not very much. Yeah. He was coming off from the injury. That we drafted a wide receiver, too. So, you know, I don't know. I feel confident with our offensive line, with our defensive line, that we'll be able to control the line of scrimmage. I love that linebacker out of Iowa that they took in the first round as well. So I think the Lions are going to be very exciting, as well as the Jets. I mean, look at them. They had a big pickup today. What, Randall Cobb?
Yep, he signed with them today.
Smart thing to do, someone who is familiar with how Aaron Rodgers plays the game and what his expectations are.
Yeah, and that's really, that was going to be my next question. You know, that was one of the big moves before the draft, the Monday before the draft. The Jets, you know, acquire Aaron Rodgers. Several pundits are putting the Jets in the driver's seat while others are more measured in their projections. But what are your expectations for Rodgers in New York?
I think the New York Jets, very talented team. I mean, you guys won 7 of 8 of your first. You started off super hot. Very talented young team. Like I said, I think the quarterback was the missing piece, and, you know, you rewind, what was it, you know, quite a long time ago. I retired from the NFL in 2008. In 2009, what, New York signed Brett Favre.
That's right.
So I think it's a completely different situation with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. I think Aaron Rodgers is a much better talent and still has a lot more in the tank, whereas Brett Favre was at the end.
And Brett Favre was just trying to get to Minnesota also. But, you know, you were an undrafted free agent out of Western Michigan. The NFL has a rich history of undrafted free agents doing big things. What undrafted free agent moves caught your eye so far? And who do you think will have a greatest impact? Like, kind of tell me, like, you know, you were an unrestricted free agent. You're an undrafted free agent. Like, what's going through, you know, what are they going through right now? How are you trying to figure out what team you're going to sign with? How are you going to figure out, like, what scheme works best for you? How can you get to OTAs, and how could you stand out?
Every player that is considered on these lists, and, you know, I'm reading the list of, you know, the draft mock of who the best undrafted free agents are. You know, if you have an opportunity to get into camp, even the late round picks, 6 and 7, they're not even a 5, 6, 7. They're not assured a roster spot. So there's a lot of talent. It does, you know, these undrafted free agents are very cost effective. They come in at the league minimum. And like I said, they're going to work hard. My route to the NFL, I started at Western Michigan as a walk-on. So came from the bottom of the food chain up there. And then, you know, took that mentality through my whole career in football. You know, it's not like I was resentful, but you play with a chip on your shoulder. And, you know, if you get an opportunity and you can do multiple things and you're humble and you're willing to play special teams, you got a chance.
100%. And you played 2 seasons for the Frankfurt Galaxy in the NFL Europe, and you started 19 games. You won the World Bowl, so you had quite the credentials there. But what are some of your fondest memories of your time in that league, off the field?
I'm sure Damian's touched on that a bit. I mean, we were so fortunate to have. I played the last 2 years in NFL Europe, 2006, 2007. I was very fortunate to start at center and as a long snapper and a team elected captain. Played with a lot of great people, a lot of great players from all over the country. And we were able to put together a championship run. I mean, it's hard to win a championship at any level. So we were extremely fortunate. Just having the opportunity to go play and get film, and NFL Europe was great. Experience of a lifetime.
And what was it difficult for you? You know, being away from home, being away from family, like, you know, being in, you know, in Germany as opposed to, like, you know, being, you know, across the pond in the, you know, like, how did that mental toll, how did that affect your game and affect you personally?
You know, we had training camp down in Tampa, all 6 NFL Europe teams. And, you know, it was a 5-week training camp. So, you know, doing that and then, a 5-week NFL training camp. But we started in Tampa and then we ended up in 2006 was the World Cup year. So we started NFL Europe a bit early. We got over there in February. And, like I said, I think the focus, just like everybody, it was an opportunity to get film and to get exposure. It was 4 months away from your family and whatnot, but, you know, you kind of built that family with teammates and staff, and we were a very close-knit group. So, incredible opportunity to travel and see the world and, you know, play some very high-level football.
Oh, definitely. Well, NFL Europe developed a lot of high-caliber NFL players. They solid players like Brad Johnson, Jake DeLone, greats like Kurt Warner, Vinatieri, Dante Hall.
Yeah.
So how important is this? How important is the idea of a developmental league to the overall success of the NFL? And how can these spring leagues that are popping up, your USFLs, your XFLs, but how can these spring leagues be a true developmental system like NFL Europe was?
Well, you know, the cool thing is you know, these kids and these young men are getting opportunities to play, and they're playing against great competitors and great competition. I'm a huge fan of the USFL. I think the NFL is as well. I mean, it's not a threat to the NFL by any means. It's more so it offers players that, you know, have proved themselves on film against professional players at a professional level. You know, so I think it's needed. It's essential. The game of football is extremely different from any other sport. If you talk about it from a film point, everything is broken down and watched from different angles and hundreds of times. So,
the NFL coaches are the
front office's eye. You never know. There's always going to be a spot for players like that.
Definitely. And we'll get you out of here on this one, Chuck. You're a diehard Red Wings fan from what we know. It's been a while since Titletown's seen a cup, though. What do you think of the rebuild so far, and what can the Red Wings do to get back into the mix in the NHL?
I just brought some hockey into it. I'm a huge hockey fan. I was fortunate enough to grow up through the 90s and the Red Wing dynasty. And I was a hockey fan before I played football. I started playing football in ninth grade. So hockey town, a lot's changed since the 24 straight years in the playoffs, making it to the playoffs. The thing I'm most excited about is Steve Yzerman writing the ship, doing the general manager. He proved himself in Tampa. He set up that program, and then he came home to Detroit, and Tampa ends up winning a Stanley Cup. I think the Red Wings are very young. We were borderline a playoff team this year. So I don't know. We're really excited. If we can get the Lions and the Tigers and the Red Wings all on board, we're a very passionate sports city, just like New York.
Detroit is starving for one. No, I'm with you on that. When the Pistons were the, you know, what were they, the last team to win a championship, right?
So yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's 2004.
Yeah, so it's been a while. So, you know, if it Detroit sure can get back on its feet, you know, like, I mean, I know the Tigers had their run, you know, getting to the World Series, but, you know, the Motor City can definitely use a little jump in their game, so to speak. But
yeah,
Charles
Bassant,
yeah. And well, we'll see, you know. But Charles Bassant, thank you for coming on, brother. And do you have anything going on? Anything you want to, any events coming up, any charities you want to promote? Now's the time. Floor is yours.
No, I appreciate it very much. And thank you guys for so much for having me on the show. We're doing something kind of special here in Michigan. I work in the cannabis industry, so I'm trying to connect former players in the NFL that have used cannabis and had positive outcomes via anti-inflammatory, not taking narcotics. And just, I think the research study for plaque and CTE and head concussions, I think cannabis is going to be a huge role player in preventing those terrible outcomes. So I work in the industry. I'm a firm believer in holistic medicine, natural medicines, and it's just provides the entourage effect, which is cannabinoids, flavonoids, and terpenes working in concert to provide relief. So that's just my little spiel. I'm passionate about what I do. If we can help people, we all know that there's a huge opiate epidemic in this country and in sports specifically. So if we can do anything to naturally heal and remedy these athletes, the answer is cannabis.
100%. And you know what? That was a very, very well-stated, passionate plea. So, you know, Charles Bassant, thank you for coming on, brother. And if you want to get in on the action, if you want to be a member of the In Crowd, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a DM on Twitter at faderoutednz, and you, yes, you, can be the newest member of the In Crowd. Charles Bassant, thank you so much for joining the In Route today, and we'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys very much, and look forward to staying in touch and being a follower of your great show.
Want to get on the action? We want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It is time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. Do you know who took home the coveted Hats Trophy last week? D.
I don't.
Well, it was a tight one. It was absolutely a tight one. You had a flip of the coin, really. You had Patrick Kane and Tottenham Hotspur. But it narrowly went to Tottenham Hotspur after that putrid performance. So, Tottenham Spurs, congratulations. You got the shout out on this year's show, and you get the coveted Ash Trophy to go with a big smiling picture of Antonio Conte saying, "I told you so." But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, B?
All right. First up, I've got the Tennessee Titans. Trading up for Kentucky quarterback Will Levis when in the second round after drafting Malik Willis in the third round last year. It's like, guys, you need other players than quarterbacks. Stop drafting quarterbacks. What are you guys doing? Tennessee Titans. You are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. And next up, I've got the Boston Bruins. Arguably one of the best regular season hockey teams in the history of the NHL. And you lose in the first round to the Florida Panthers. 3-1 series lead blown. 3-2 lead in the third period of Game 7 blown. Gotta be one of the worst collapses of all time. And next up, I got Carlos Rodon. Dude, will you ever play Major League Baseball in the Bronx? Now we're hearing you have a back problem, but your arm's better, your legs are okay. Dude, can you pitch or not? I mean, the Yankees are, I think, a game over 500 with the Game 2 series coming up against the Rays. Then they have the Padres, the O's, the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees have a chance to finish May with a sub-500 record. Carlos Rodon, you, my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Z, what do you got?
I mean, those are all great choices, all deserving. I mean, you can go a bunch of different ways, right? You can go Bruins, you can go Avalanche, you can go Rangers. Like, all of them would be deserving of the medal. I'm going to go with the Rangers. The New York Rangers, you put up 10 at the Prudential Center in the first two games. You looked old. You looked slow. Your defense fell apart. Shesterkin could not save you. He's turning into Lundqvist 2.0. Very odd. You're hanging him out to dry the same way you hung Henrik Lundqvist out to dry. New York Rangers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Sacramento Kings, you choked away a series too. Warriors on the ropes, you couldn't seal the deal. Malik Monk, talked that shit. You talked that shit. You're home on the golf course. Steph Curry, he's playing LeBron. So, Sacramento Kings, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Dylan Brooks again. He's back. He's back. He won't go away. Talking all that shit. Talking all that mess. LeBron is bald. LeBron is old. I poked the bear. The bear poked back. And you didn't back up. You snubbed the media thrice. Not once, not twice, but thrice. The last being in that 40-point beatdown that knocked you out of the playoffs. Pros take their lumps. They don't hide. And on top of that, you got fined $25,000 for the media policy. And your team came out and said they will not re-sign you under any circumstance. When has a team unequivocally said, we're not bringing this guy back? Not at a number.
He was a good player for them, too. He averaged 25 points in the playoffs back in the day for them. Because he's been a lifelong Grizzly. I don't think he's played for any other team.
Yeah, and he's been a lifelong Grizzly, but you see this, and you see what Ja Morant turned into this year, and you got to figure that they're thinking that one has to do with the other, and that getting Dylan Brooks out of here is somehow going to rejuvenate Ja Morant. I don't know that, but that's what I'm piecing together from this. But we'll see. Now, I already know where he's going. Should I keep it under wraps, or should I tell you where Dylan Brooks is going? Because you know as well as I do, he's going to be on the Lakers next year. He's going to be on that team with LeBron, and he's going to be back to where he was. He will be the man once more. But for now, Dylan Brooks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. The poll goes live after the show. Go to our Twitter page at FadeRouteDNZ and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that DNZ sent you.
Order up!
All right, boys and girls, it's time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
This week, we are ordering up our top five teams who got better through the draft last week. From 5 to 1, who you got, D?
Yeah, so I'm just going to start off with my team, and I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens, man. I appreciated what they did last week in regards to signing Lamar and then drafting Zay Flowers, who I felt was one of the best wide receivers in the draft in the first round. I still want to see them get D-Hop, but I give them an A. Number 4, I have Seattle, man. They got the best corner in the draft at 5. Then they added a third wide receiver from Ohio State at number 20. And so now they got their offense got better and their defense got better. Number 3, I have the Atlanta Falcons. I think Bijan Robinson's the truth. I think he's going to help the Falcons compete for the South title this year, and I think he will be in conversations for Rookie of the Year. Number 2, gotta appreciate what the Texans did. We assumed they would get the quarterback, but coming back on, trading back up to snag Will Anderson Jr. Well played, Casera. Well played. And number 1, I can't imagine you have a different team, but man, the Eagles, they traded for DeAndre Swift. They landed Jalen Carter at 9, and then they got the edge rusher Nolan Smith from Georgia later in the draft. I have to imagine they're going to win the East again. What do you got, Z?
I mean, all great choices, and it's very difficult to argue with the Eagles at number one. And you didn't even mention the DeAndre Swift trade.
No, I did. I did. That was
you did.
That was the first thing you said. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a major, major coup by Howie Roseman, especially once the Lions revealed that, you know, they were going to take Gibbs at number 12. It's like, you, what are you going to do? What can I offer you? A ham sandwich? Okay, you can have it. You can have DeAndre Swift. But I got to say, number five, I'm going with the Falcons on the strength of Bijan Robinson, but this could very well be like one person draft, you know? Like, they already had a 1,000-yard rusher. They already did. So we'll see if he's that important. But, like, undeniably, the talent is there. So the Falcons are just on the edge for me. Number four, I like what the Steelers did. You know, they moved up to take the offensive tackle. They took Darnell Washington with tight end. So they have a few pieces there that I do like. Like, you know, Joey Porter Jr. is who he is.
Trash.
Well, I mean, we'll see. He's got the NFL pedigree. Now we'll see what he becomes at the next level. But I mean, you pick up two solid players, and even Herbig from Wisconsin, he has the potential to be good. So, you know, I don't bet against Coach Tomlin, and I don't bet against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number three, I like the Giants. I like what they did. You know, they needed a speed receiver. They got Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee. They needed a corner. They got Deontay Banks from Maryland. Like, they got more help along the offensive line. They brought in another defensive tackle. Like, they're trying to address the glaring hole in their defense, which was their secondary. They picked up Eric Gray. What's he going to be? Who knows? Maybe he's just a kick returner. But, you know, I definitely like that the Giants are trying to address the holes. And they've certainly been able to, you know, improve that wide receiver core, which was terrible last year in terms of depth. You have 8 or 9 guys potentially winning jobs in practice, in training camp. So we'll see what happens there. Number two, you got to love what the Texans did. Right? You were able to move back up to number three, right? When nobody in a million years earmarked the Texans for three, right? Oh, it's going to be the Colts, or it's going to be the Raiders, or, you know, who knows? Sneaky move by Caserio. Sneaky, sneaky. You got your quarterback. You got an edge rusher. You actually have two, because Dylan Horton, who knows what Dylan Horton's going to be? But you got a few pieces from Alabama. You got another wideout. You have two more wideouts, more help along the offensive line. If you're going to rebuild and rebuild quickly, stockpile those picks and start getting bodies. And that is what the Houston Texans did. Right? You can't argue with it. Now, let's see what it turns into once they take the field. And then number one, yeah. What more can you say about the Philadelphia Eagles? It's an embarrassment of riches that got even more embarrassing, right? They needed a running back. Did they go draft him? No, they just went and got DeAndre Swift. Did they need help defensively? Probably a little bit. They went and got Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith. Did they need help on the offensive line? Maybe a little bit. They went and got Tyler Steen from Alabama. They know what they're doing. Howie Roseman has demonstrated time and time again that he knows what he's doing. And you can't discount him, right? At this point, I think he has demonstrated above and beyond how good he is as a GM. And this team is still loaded for bear.
This has been the Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday night on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.